The title I wrote on the board, hopefully I spelled it correctly, is Deal Courageously. And I believe it goes along with the message we heard this morning. I'd like to just take a look at the life of Jehoshaphat today. The Lord taught Jehoshaphat some of these things through his experiences in 2 Chronicles 16 and 17, 18 and 19 is a lot of the story of Jehoshaphat. And it is what he gave his officers and those that he set in authority in his kingdom. Some of the last words he told them in those instructions was to deal courageously. And I'd like to just go through the life of Jehoshaphat, how he learned these things. There's some nuggets in here that the Lord has given me a couple months ago, and it's just been a blessing to me throughout the last few weeks as I thought about it. Jehoshaphat was a son of Asa. Asa was a man that turned to the Lord with all of his heart when he was young. And when he was old, I'm not sure what the end of Jehoshaphat was, but he made some great mistakes. But Jehoshaphat started out wanting to please the Lord. In the fourth verse, it says he sought the Lord. The fourth verse of the 17th chapter of 2 Chronicles says he sought the Lord, the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. So he was the king of Judah, and Israel was off serving other gods. And at this time, Israel was an enemy to Judah. In the first verse of the 17th chapter, it says he strengthened himself against Israel. And so, because he sought the Lord, in the fifth verse, we'll just read on through the 17th chapter a little bit. It says, therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. And in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail, and to Obadiah, and to Zechariah, and to Nethaneel, and to Micaiah to teach in the cities of Judah. And he sent them with Levites. And so he taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. And they went throughout all the cities and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. So we look at Jehoshaphat, how that the blessing of the Lord just simply followed his desire. And his desire was to seek the Lord. And in his time of peace and prosperity, he did not let that just be a time to rest. But he moved the bar forward. He moved the goal. And he taught the people even more than his father did. He did more than his father did. He took away the high places. And he was productive. You know, it is such a blessing to see someone that has strength and options, and they choose to follow the Lord. And they when they have the choice to enjoy the pleasures of their own productivity, instead they give it back to the Lord. And this is what Jehoshaphat did. And it says his heart was lifted up in the ways of God. The ways of the Lord are all pleasantness, aren't they? There's no evil or ill intent with them. And it's not like he was proud. But he was just lifted up in the joy of the Lord. And he said, I want everybody to know about this. And he started teaching the people. They went through the land. And the fear of the Lord fell on his enemies. There's something that people don't realize when they try to take things into their own hands is that they lose that sixth sense. You know, we have five senses, but when we put ourselves in the Lord's hands, we have another sixth sense, and that's God looking out for us. And that's what happened with Jehoshaphat here. We see things just going his way. The Lord is making things fall into place. He's protected from the enemy on every hand. And I think of that verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's a promise today for us. And he saw that firsthand, how that it was so. So we look at his start, how good it was, and how well he did in teaching the people and instructing them. And then we read about how he establishes defenses and things. He didn't just let that slack, but he was very concerned about that. And then in the 18th verse, this is where the Lord had to teach him some lessons. In the 18th chapter, it says, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. Somehow I think there's a correlation between riches and honor in abundance and joining affinity with Ahab. We heard about not sleeping this morning. And Jehoshaphat, in the first chapter of the 17th, in the first verse of the 17th chapter, Israel was their enemy. And here, after he got riches in abundance and honor, he joined affinity with Ahab. What changed? Israel didn't change, did they? Ahab was just as wicked as ever. So what made Israel become a friend to Jehoshaphat? I think it's just a warning to us today that Jehoshaphat started out so well, but when he got riches and honor and abundance, I think he felt like he had some ability to have some leverage there to you know, make some of his own decisions. He had his defenses up. He fortified his cities, all these things, and here he went and joined affinity with Ahab. Ahab didn't change, so Jehoshaphat must have changed. And this is a Bible study, so feel free to interject. So then after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance, and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered, I am as thou art, and my people is thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. Was he really like Ahab? We can't say that to the world. We can't say that with people who even name the name of Christ but don't have the works that follow, and that don't want to please the Lord with all of their hearts. We can't just join affinity with whoever names the name of Christ. There may be a lot of good works done even. Now, in Ahab's part, there wasn't. But Ahab slaughtered lots of animals for Jehoshaphat. He made him feel very comfortable in his place. And that's another warning for us. First, Jehoshaphat maybe felt a little comfortable in his own position with his riches and his abilities. But then Ahab wined and dined him, as we call it, and all the people that were with him. And he went down to Ahab. Ahab didn't come to him. Jehoshaphat went there. There's a desire in all of us to have friendship. We love to have people think well of us. We love to have the world think well of us on our job or wherever we're at. But it should never come, we should never sacrifice those good things to have that approval of the world. And so Jehoshaphat shouldn't have said, "I am as thou art." Jehoshaphat was completely different. His heart was to please the Lord. So Jehoshaphat still loved the Lord. And in the fourth verse he says, "Inquire, I pray thee, of the word of the Lord today to the king." He still wanted to hear from the word of the Lord, even though he wanted to please Ahab as well. And so Ahab got all of his prophets together. These were not prophets of God, but these were prophets that Ahab got together. And they had this big show of how the Lord was just going to conquer their enemies, and they were going to run over them. And something in Jehoshaphat's spirit told him this wasn't quite right. The Lord was faithful to Jehoshaphat, and he sent him warning after warning through this 18th chapter. And so he said, "Is there not a man here that that we can inquire of him?" That's in the sixth verse. And so we know the story. Ahab said, "Well, there is one man, but I hate him." So, you know, Jehoshaphat, maybe we need to rethink this. Are you really with this man? Are you really as he is? If he hates your servant, the Lord's servant, I think you're completely different than Ahab. And so they got Micaiah, the son of Imlah, to come to them. And of course, they tried to persuade Micaiah ahead of time, the king's servants, in the 12th verse. The messenger that went up to call Micaiah spake to him, saying, "Behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one assent. Like thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs and speak thou good." So Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak." This is something else about dealing courageously. You might be the only one. There were 400 prophets, so that's 99.75% of the people saying something was right. Does it make it right? We can't just say, "Well, it's all in numbers. If there's enough numbers, it's right." We know that's not the case, but we all know that we are swayed by popular opinion. It's just a human tendency. So even though we know it, it's very hard to go upstream sometimes when everyone else is saying something different, and you have all the brass of the world and the pressure of the world against you. But Micaiah said, "Whatever the Lord tells me, that's what I will say." So in the next verse, Micaiah said, the king came to him. The king said, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" And he said, "Go ye up and prosper, for they shall be delivered into your hand." Somehow the king knew that that wasn't accurate. I don't know how he knew, but Micaiah didn't say, "Thus saith the word of the Lord," either. He just said, "Go up." I think he saw that their heart was already that way. And most of the time when the prophet said something, they say, "Thus saith the Lord." Well, Micaiah didn't say this. And then the king said, "How many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord?" And then he said, "I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his house in peace." And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil?" So Jehoshaphat was getting these warnings Every little bit, God was giving him another warning here. And Micaiah told them the truth. I'll diverge just a little bit. I was praying about something, about going somewhere a while back. And I let my Bible fall open because I wanted to go. Someone had asked me to go to a meeting in another country. And I was praying about it, and I let my Bible fall open. And it fell to this verse that says, "Go, ye up and prosper, for they shall be delivered into your hand." And so I thought, well, the Lord must want me to go. But I didn't feel that in my spirit. And this is kind of how the Lord got all this going in my mind, because I wanted to go. But I read the verse and it said, "Go ye." So I thought, well, okay, maybe I should go. And then I read down the next two verses and realized that was a deception. And he said, "I saw Israel as a sheep not having a shepherd." And the Lord's, I believe, impressed it on my spirit that, "Michael, you may want to do things so bad," just like Brother Jim White in the message this morning, he asked Brother Marty, "Well, can we want something so bad that we think it might be the Spirit of the Lord talking to us when it's really not?" Well, that can happen. And I believe the Lord told me through this scripture, you can't just go by your feelings or your own desires. They can lead you astray here, just like in this instance. And there was something totally opposite that God wanted. And the Lord impressed it on me that I was not to go. And it was my own feelings telling me I should go, but the Spirit was telling me I shouldn't go. And then he backed it up with his word here. And he can do that for each one of us. So Jehoshaphat had this warning as well. He heard the words, "Go ye up," but they weren't from the Lord. He heard the words, "Go ye," from 400 prophets, but they weren't from the Lord. And God spoke his word to him. And Jehoshaphat went against it. They just went on to the battle. After this, the king of Israel, Ahab, said, "Well, put this man in prison until we come back in peace." It just seems like dumb warning 101. Jehoshaphat, you asked for the word of the Lord. He gave it to you. And yet it just says he just went on. He just went on to the battle. There wasn't any warning to Ahab saying, "Hey, you know, maybe we ought to rethink this." But after Ahab said, put him in prison, let's see here, that's down in the 26th verse where it talks about putting him in prison. And Micaiah said, "If thou certainly return in peace, then hath not the Lord spoken by me." And he said, "Hearken, all ye people. Wake up. Don't sleep through this, Jehoshaphat." Jehoshaphat started so well. He was on the right path. What caused him to just sleep a little bit? It was his own desire to please other people. It was his own desire to have the approval of Ahab. And it was just a little bit of a closing of the eyes that Jehoshaphat had here. And he had these warnings. And his flesh wanted to do something different. And finally Micaiah said, "Hark, listen to the word of the Lord." But what did Jehoshaphat do? He didn't say anything. It just says he went on to the battle. And, you know, it gets even worse. There's another warning. I think Ahab, at this point, had more concern for the word of the Lord than Jehoshaphat did, because he disguised himself. He said, "I don't want to go into the battle looking like a king." So Jehoshaphat went in and his kingly robes. And we know that the Lord preserved his life and protected Jehoshaphat. And then we'll just skip on down because there is a lot of reading there. In the 19th verse, this is where, the 19th chapter, this is really where my burden is. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace in Jerusalem. So he saw these warnings. He didn't heed them. Ahab was killed in the battle. And then it says he just went to his home, his house in peace. It seems like there still wasn't any reckoning or reconciling to the fact that his desires caused this until the prophet came to Jehoshaphat in the second verse of the 19th chapter. Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Shouldst thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek the Lord." So the Lord had mercy on him again and sent him a direct warning from the prophet saying, "There's wrath on you, but it says, you've prepared your heart to seek the Lord. That's why I'm coming to you again." How many times has the Lord come to us like that in mercy? Try to correct us. I'm very thankful for the mercy of the Lord. When we set our heart to seek the Lord, He's not going to let us go easy. He's going to try every way He can to get a hold of us. And so, Jehoshaphat had a heart change here, I believe. He truly changed. In this 19th chapter, it says he dwelt at Jerusalem and he went out again through all the people. And he not only taught them, but he brought them back to the God of their fathers, it says. He set judges in the land. And here's some of the instructions he told the judges and officers he put in place. He said, "Take heed what you do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord who is with you in judgment." He learned some things, didn't he? He said, you don't do it for man. You do it for the Lord. You do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And he said, "Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts." He learned another thing. He got snookered by Ahab's gifts and all of his fancy preparations. And it caused him to sleep a little bit and miss his judgment. He said, "There's no respect of persons with God, nor taking of gifts. There's no iniquity with the Lord our God. There's no evil repercussions from following the Lord your God wholeheartedly." So he said, "Let the fear of God be on you. You let God work out these differences. Don't fear man, in other words. Fear God. Man can get all up in your face and intimidate, and we can really feel intimidated in the flesh. But there's one in eternity that we'll answer to far beyond what man can do." So I was praying about this Bible study, and I felt like it'd almost be better for a men's meeting than here, but then I felt like the Lord let me go ahead and do it here today. But today, we have so many things that are trying to fight against us, that are trying to silence us, to not do the right thing and to not say the right thing. And some of the temptation is even, okay, we can do the right thing, but just don't say it. You know, I wholeheartedly agree with living in front of people a holy life. But I also agree that if the Lord gives you something to say, you need to say it. And we need to have courage to do the right thing. Because there's been many times throughout history that people want, you know, they live a good godly life, but there's things that they could do to help around their community or in their area, in the church, and it's sometimes hard to stand up against the flow and say something. But Jehoshaphat's warning to them is, don't fear man, fear God. You do the right thing. He says, wherefore now, fear the Lord. Okay, we read that verse. In the 8th verse, moreover in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat said of the Levites and of the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall you do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart. And what cause soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in their cities, between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, ye shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord. So wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and ye shall not trespass. So we see that he established God's law in every area of their lives, in civil judgments and spiritual judgments. He set this up. And I don't think there's anywhere a Christian should not be in the world, as far as, you know, in business, we should be a Christian. In the church, we should be a Christian. In our community, at Walmart, we should be a Christian. And there's nowhere that the law of God doesn't work. The law of God works everywhere. And so we don't have to be afraid to speak the truth when the Lord inspires the truth to our heart and inspires the word to us. He set these guys up in all matters of the law and judgment. And, you know, I think of John the Baptist. Why did he need to tell Herod that it wasn't lawful for him to have his brother's wife? John the Baptist could have saved his life by not saying that. But something inspired him to say that. And he lost his life over it, but it was the Lord's plan. And that's what we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear losing our life. We don't have to fear man. We have to fear God. And John the Baptist feared God enough to speak the truth when it was inspired to his heart. And so we see through these verses that Jehoshaphat had a change of heart. He wasn't interested in just pleasing people, but he established the word of God. He turned the hearts of the people and said, we can't do it like Israel's doing it. We can't say that we're children of God but have our own set of principles we live by. It doesn't work. I think of the idol worship that Israel was involved in Judah so many times. It just seems like slavery followed close behind them starting idol worship. And what do we see in sin today? People turn to sin, and just in a few years, here comes the bondage. And it's like, why can't we just have our idol worship without somebody coming in and taking everything good we have and destroying us? It's the law of God. It works that way. And so it works with sin today, that we can't just take part in pleasures of sin and not expect there to be bondage. And so Jehoshaphat's saying, we can't do it like Israel's doing it. We can't split this. We've got to be wholeheartedly seeking the Lord. So, behold, Amariah the chief priest is over you in all matters of the Lord, and Zebediah the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters. Also the Levites shall be officers before you. Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good. I love the way Jehoshaphat finished that up. It says, don't do it like I did it with Ahab. That's what I'm just adding to his words here, but I believe Jehoshaphat had a change of heart here, and he learned his lessons, and he saw that, you know what, I was not courageous. I did not stand up before Ahab and say, hey, here's who I asked for, here's the word of the Lord, this is what we should do. But he capitulated. At every turn, he just capitulated. And it brought almost destruction to his own life, too. But he says, deal courageously in every dealing you have. Be courageous to do the right thing. When everyone around you is saying something different, you do the right thing. You know, you young men at school or at work, and you young women deal with this too a lot. Sometimes it takes courage to be in front of the world. And it takes courage to stand up and do the right thing. So many times, you know, even in business, I'll have people tell me how, oh, here, I can save a little here, I can save a little there, just by saying you, well, at Lowe's the other day, I was buying a dishwasher, and the guy says, well, look, you can get this warranty and get it extended, and then somehow it just breaks right at the end of your warranty, and you can get a new one and get another warranty, and you can have a brand new dishwasher. He said, I've been doing it for years. I have new dishwashers. You know, those are just things that seem small, but really they're a flaw in the character and principle, and we can't let that go. We have to be able to do the right, even when it seems like it's going against our own ability to do well for ourselves or to make money or make ourselves look good, whatever it is. Having courage to do the right thing and to not let our flesh take over is something that the Lord is going to have to help us with. I know I'm teaching from the Old Testament, but the Lord said, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. We are all in the flesh today, and we have our flesh to contend with, and if we don't live by the Spirit, we will walk according to the flesh. So he says, deal courageously, and the Lord will be with the good. You give the results to God. That's what he's saying. You just have courage to do the right thing, to have a right attitude when everyone else has a wrong attitude, when everything in you is saying, I am justified, and everything I can respond with and do, you still have the Spirit of Christ on your life to do the right thing. Even when it feels like you're going backwards, the Lord will be with the good. The Lord will be with those decisions that you make to consecrate to him, that, Lord, even in the face of ridicule or whatever it is, in the face of my own feelings, I'm going to do the right thing. And you commit that and consecrate that to the Lord, and he'll be with the good. So, I wish I could say Jehoshaphat learned this throughout his whole life, but the end of his life, he did do the same thing again. He joined affinity with Israel again, and the Lord destroyed his ships for it. We don't have to make the mistakes again. That's not the burden today. The burden is that Jehoshaphat learned, and he truly moved the ball forward in his country to turn people's hearts to the Lord. And it was beautiful to see what God did with that country, how he blessed them, how he fortified them and defended them. And these are all investments that we make before we see the results. And then at the end of our life, we see the results of those things that we committed and consecrated to the Lord with courage, and the Lord turned those around to be a great blessing to us. But it's by faith that we walk this way. and that we die to the flesh, we die to our feelings, and our reactions, and we live to the Lord. So I think one of the biggest things that when someone, a man or woman, will stand up with courage and move by the Spirit of the Lord, it takes away the ability for the enemy to work. It cuts him off at the knees, and he can really make a lot of noise and scare us sometimes. But when we are faithful to speak the Word of God, to go into all the world, to preach the gospel, to do those hard things, it cuts the devil off, because his plans are always to work through our flesh. He can't work through the Spirit of God. And when we're dead to that, when we live to the Lord, when we obey his call, it cuts the devil off. He can't work there. And it takes away the stumbling blocks. You know, the Bible talks about stumbling blocks. Those stumbling blocks came from their own fleshly desires. Those stumbling blocks in the Old Testament, a lot of times were those high places, those places that were just left. You know, maybe they took the idols out, but they left the high places. There's just a little bit left that they still stumbled at it. But Jehoshaphat had courage to take even those things away. And he also took away the stumbling block of ignorance, because he taught the people. So many times, what's the scripture that says, my people suffer for lack of knowledge? We need to reinforce these to our mind. And that's why we're here today. That's why we're at meeting, to reinforce these things. That's Hosea 4 and 6. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, that's what the burden the Lord gave me, was to deal courageously, to not fear man, to commit that to the Lord, to trust in him. He'll bring it to pass. We can commit the results to the Lord. We just do the right thing. So my prayer for each one of you, men, women, young people, is that we just let the Lord settle these things in our hearts, to where we're not swayed by the world, by opinion, but that we're swayed by the Spirit of God, to move by him, to speak the word in season, and to be a healer wherever we're at. You know, I think of the proverb that says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. When we have courage to say the right thing, it doesn't mean we're just out there hammering people, telling them they have to straighten up. But it's a word fitly spoken by the Spirit of God, encouraged to say the thing that needs to be said. And the Lord will be with those results. I'm thankful for the ways of God today. Pray for me.